Welcome back in, final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got weekend winners coming up at 9:15. Got some winners to hand out this weekend. Another bad week for me on that front, but we'll get to that coming up at 9:15. Got some work to do in the competition on weekend winners. Right now, talking all things NFL draft. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrow, the Titans have selected Caleb Farley at number 22 overall in the first round of the draft. And that's got us asking our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter, which has generated quite a bit of response so far on Twitter. Very different opinions all over the map when it comes to Caleb Farley. And today's poll question is this: do you think the Titans and the risk at Caleb Farley at number 22 is worth it? 63% say yes, 37% say no. So that's about right at where it was the last time we updated the poll question. People are kind of trenched in, dug in here on Caleb Farley. Almost two-thirds say yes, Caleb Farley worth the risk at number 22 overall.
Yeah, I think John Robinson, if he cares about such things, if he cares about, you know, how much the fan base approves. I think the main thing to care about is how much Amy Adams Strunk approves and whether he's right or wrong in the final analysis. But I think two-thirds is that'd be a pretty good outcome in terms of fan approval. And I've seen the full extreme. Love it. Brilliant. Genius. You got a top 10 player. You got maybe the top corner. Fall in your lap. How could you not do it? And then idiotic, moronic, stupid. How could you do this? How could you gamble like this after the way last year went, especially? And yeah, everything in between.
There has been everything in between today, that is for sure. So now the Titans at this moment, you're heading into the second round. You've got 53 available to you overall, 85, pick number 100 as well. So three more picks left in the top 100 at the moment for the Tennessee Titans. What happens from here? It's interesting. Like, you look at the first round and some names that were not taken yesterday in the first round. Elijah Moore, still on the board. Azeez Ojulari, Rondale Moore, still on the board as well. Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle, who I was sure would be gone in the first round, he is still on the board as well. Still a lot of options left on the table for the Titans. Some fans wanting to trade up and make sure you can still land an Azeez Ojulari or an Elijah Moore as well. Let's start there. How likely do you think it is that the Titans move up in the second or third rounds to go get a player that they really like and a player that we've talked a lot about here on the show, whether it's Ojulari or Elijah Moore, somebody in that mold?
Well, I think TD hit on it earlier. If you're moving up, you're moving up a few spots. You're not saying, hey, oh, we can go up to – we can go up into the mid-30s and go get Ojulari or go get Elijah Moore. You're not doing that. I think the edge thing to me is more pressing than receiver. Even we know that Elijah Moore is a very good player. We've talked a lot about Rondale Moore, but there are a lot of good receivers in this draft. Titans are going to get someone who's going to have the ability to come in and make a difference for their offense where, you know, somewhere in this draft. Now the edge situation, I do think that you've got, you know, a little bit of a fall off. That's how it looks anyway. You know, in terms of the evaluations of guys, you got a little bit of a fall off after the next few guys. You had a run on edge guys at the end of the first round. The last three picks of the first round were edge guys. None of them were Ojulari. I never would have ever guessed that. It's that could be a little bit of urgency. Joseph Asai from Texas. He's one of those guys who kind of like Rondale Moore. He's one of the guys who I think is hard for people to pin down on exactly, you know, where he might go. Now, as with anyone, one team loves you and it doesn't matter. Maybe the Titans were the only team that were going to take Caleb Farley in the first round. Either way, he went 22. Do you look at Asai? You know, there's like Ronnie Perkins from Oklahoma. I think Rashad Weaver from Pittsburgh is an interesting guy that they could get and not have to move up But I think if they do, it's just like TD said, it's got to be just a few spots, and it's getting close, and your guy's right there, and maybe there's a team ahead of you, like, ooh, they might take him. Okay, let's give up a little bit to move up a little bit.
I would think so, too, and it's interesting because you still have tight end as a need as well. We've talked about, you know, Brevin Jordan and, you know, Tommy Tremble later on in the draft, maybe for the Titans if they're still available, maybe in the fourth round, somewhere in that area. But, like, if Pat Freiermuth is there in the second round for you at the Titans, like, do you consider going that route? Like, I know a lot of people, if your first two picks were at corner and then at tight end and you had not addressed either wide receiver or edge rusher with your first two picks, a lot of Titans fans are going to freak out about that. But if Freiermuth is there, is that a route maybe you consider if you're the Titans at this point?
Sure. Freiermuth, Brevin Jordan, Tommy Tremble, you know, Hunter Long may be a guy who's there a little bit later. You know, you may be able to, you know, to get him a little bit later. And again, on the edge front, I didn't mention Deo Odiengbo. A lot of people, you know, there's some other guys down in there, Dalen Hayes from Notre Dame. I mean, there's some other guys that you could hold off on and still add depth, and a guy that, you know, you have hope can come in, at least be a decent three at the edge. And look, tight end is important.
Yeah.
For as much as this defense needs to turn things around, for as badly as the Titans need another receiver, I do think that you can make a strong case to get one of these top tight ends. Again, it's Kyle Pitts, and then it's who knows when the next one goes. But the Freiermuth, Tremble, Jordan tier, and maybe Long's in there, maybe not. But I think you can make a strong case that one of those guys would be really worth going after today.
By the way, we haven't even brought this up yet. What did you think of all the reunions yesterday in the draft? You've got Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne in Jacksonville, Jalen Waddle, Jalen Hurts with Philadelphia. You've got Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals. Does that mean that the Titans just automatically are going Elijah Moore in the second round, bringing him back with A.J. Brown?
Devontae Smith, not Jalen Waddle.
Excuse me, yes, Devontae Smith.
But Jalen Waddle
with Tua.
With Tua.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's a great point. Now, of course, when it comes to Clemson, Alabama, it's almost hard not to have reunions.
That is true.
Because they both send like 10 dudes, you know, in the first round. But yeah, maybe it's time. I mean, look, among many things to like about Elijah Moore, you know, you got two guys who were college teammates there, so maybe that will be the case. I'm trying to think of other possibilities for the Titans there. You know, the Hokies got back-to-back picks last night. Obviously not the same place, but that was interesting. Darisaw, who kind of actually fell a little bit. But, yeah, maybe I'm trying to think of what else they could get on the reunion front. There's some Iowa guys they could bring in to reunite with Amani Hooker. But, you know, offensive tackle too, Robbie, the Tevin Jenkins still being there, somewhat stunning. Would Titans fans be angry if at some point today, let's say they just keep those picks, you know, at 85 or 100, let's say, they address that position? I think you could make that case too. If there's someone you really, really like at that position, Walker Little from Stanford is a guy who I think is one of those also, you know, he's a tumbler, opted out, injuries and stuff, but some people thought a couple years ago that he was like a top 10 type tackle. You could make the case, you know, to go there today.
Lots of options on the table for the Titans, including some options that we did not think would be there once the second round began, kind of leading into this process here in the NFL draft. When we come back, it is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got some winners for you and a standings update that Robbie Stanley's not going to be a big fan of. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got a lot of action this weekend, including some big games in the NHL, the NBA, some draft action as well going on. We've got a lot to get to here today in weekend winners. Let's start, though, with a recap from last week. Joe Rexroad, I turned things over to you. I thought I was generating some positive momentum in this competition. That went right out the door last week. That was not good.
Yeah. Sorry to say, Robbie, another 1-5 week. Now, you did get your lock.
I did.
You got your lock. So, you know, you got double points for the one win, 2 points. Porth and I both went 4-2. The difference is that I got my lock. Porth did not get his lock. So, as we stand, April 26th, Joe Rexroad, 34-20, 8-1 on his locks, 42 points. Porth, 29-24. Remember, Porth is one game short of us.
No, it's more like 29-22-2, but
he's
continue.
He's still very upset about this tie that we've come through here.
We all took the loss.
I know.
We all took the loss.
He's going to have to get over it somehow.
Whatever. 29-24, 32 points, 3-6 on locks. Robbie, 20-34, 24 points, 4-5 in your locks. You're better than Porth in your locks.
That's great. Okay? 20-34. That's pretty hard to do. All right, without further ado, let's get underway in this week's version of Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rexroad. We begin with the Nashville Predators taking on the Dallas Stars, a massive game at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. Could be a winner-take-all game in terms of the playoff spot, the final playoff spot in the Central Division. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you, the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars, the money line. Who do you have in this game?
Dallas is playing really well. Dallas has to have this. Look, it's a huge game for both teams. You could say they both have to have it, but Dallas has to have it. That said, I think the Preds have matched up well with the Stars. The Preds are coming off rest. The Stars are coming off this, you know, really grueling game against Tampa Bay. So give me the Preds.
I am also taking the Predators in this one, and I am basing some of this on just a gut feeling I have that Forsberg is going to play. Now, if he doesn't play, maybe that changes it a little bit for me. But right now, I'm going to pick the Nashville Predators. I think it goes to overtime, but I think the Predators get it done in overtime. Ryan Porth, who you got in this game? The money line between the Predators and the Stars.
I'm going with the Nashville Predators.
Clean sweep.
Yep. I just think they're going to come out on 3 days rest. We've seen a lot of teams this season around the league on rest play really well. So give me the Preds.
And the rest, that's not happening right now for the Dallas Stars. They're still right in the thick of things in terms of this grind. Nashville SC hosting Inter Miami over the weekend at Nissan Stadium. Ryan Porth, we begin with you. It's the money line, but you can go Nashville SC win, Miami win, or a draw in this competition. Where are you going between Nashville SC and Miami?
I'm going back to the boys in gold, but I'm not making it my lock.
Okay.
I'm going back to the boys in gold, and they finally put together more than a half to 60 minutes worth of good play, and they win again in a playoff rematch against Miami.
Joe Rexroad, you called the draw last week between Nashville SC and Montreal. They're taking on Miami this week. Where are you going in the Nashville SC Miami money line?
Draw.
Going back to the well.
It's 100% this year. That's overwhelming. The analytics say draw. Give me a draw.
The analytics do say draw, and the analytics also say, Joe, they'll fall behind 2-0. Come back and tie it up 2-2. So we'll see if that works and if that trend continues. Give me Nashville SC in this game. I mean, they've got to put together a complete effort at some point, and when they do, I think they've got enough offensively this year. I've been impressed by what I've seen in terms of the possession and the offense that Nashville SC has been able to put together. I think they picked up where they left off last year, and that's a good sign. I think Nashville SC gets it done in this matchup between Miami. Moving on to over the weekend, Vanderbilt taking on the Florida Gators in a big weekend series in SEC baseball. And as we do a lot here on Weekend Winners, we're comparing Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker, the strikeout total for Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. Who ends up with more? I will start. I took Jack Leiter last week. He's been struggling a little bit as of late. Relative to his terms, he's been struggling. Give me Kumar Rocker to end up with more strikeouts this week for Vanderbilt against the Florida Gators. Ryan Porth, who do you have in this matchup between Leiter and Kumar Rocker?
I'm going back to the well once again with Jack Leiter.
All right. So Leiter being selected by Ryan Porth. Joe Rexroad, who has more strikeouts, Jack Leiter or Kumar Rocker?
Yeah, I'm switching this week. And again, this is one we all they tied last week, so we all got an L on this one. They both had 8.
Yes. But
I'm switching back to Leiter. I think Leiter responds. He's had his little rough patch here. I think he responds and has a dominant outing and edges Rocker in the strikeout category.
Big weekend series coming up for Vanderbilt against the Florida Gators this weekend. Now we move to the individual selection portion of weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ryan Porth, we kick things off with you. What is your first individual selection here in the competition?
I'm going to get my lock out of the way.
Oh, okay.
A prop for the draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers drafting an offensive lineman with their next pick.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
That is plus 100 odds.
plus 100 odds for the Pittsburgh Steelers selecting an offensive lineman with their next pick. Plus 100 odds right now. So that is the lock for Ryan Porth. Joe Rexrode, your first individual pick in the competition. Are you staying all NBA again today?
Absolutely. I like the creativity, though. Yeah, and there's some you could go into that prop world of the draft, and it could be a lot of fun. But I'm sticking with what's
working. It was not a lot
of
fun last night for me. I'll just say that.
Well, today's a new day, Porth.
It is.
I'm gonna stick with my NBA plan. I have done well with that. And tonight I got Orlando and the Grizzlies. Grizzlies minus 10.5. The Magic are, to quote Brendan Rexrode, dog water.
Dog water.
I'm going to take the Grizzlies. I'm going to give the 10.5, and I'm going to make that my lock.
Ooh.
Guaranteed.
That spread is now 11.5, by the way.
Ooh. What do we do about that? Joe Rexrode, does that change your answer at all?
I just looked at it and said 10.5.
There you go, 10.5. We'll go with Rexrode. 10.5 is a big number. Joe Rexrode going with the lock there.
No, whatever, dude. I'll take 11.5. Give me 11.5. That's fine. I get my lock.
All right. Go with 11.5. Go with 11.
When they win by 11 tonight,
it's going to be something. We're going to have a situation on our hands.
It's a virtually insurmountable lead. It's fine.
That's fine. When we, I'm going to stick with the NBA as well for my first pick in an attempt maybe to cut down on Rexrode's nonsense here. Give me the Utah Jazz +4.5 against the Phoenix Suns. This is a heavyweight matchup. In the Western Conference, the Jazz playing very well as of late. The Suns have been a great story this year. Back in the playoffs for the first time, I believe, since 2010. But the Jazz +4.5. I know it's on the road. Give me Utah +4.5 in the competition. Joe Rexrode, the second round of individual picks. We begin with you.
I would move off that pick. That's exactly my pick, too. But I'm going to stick with it because I'm so excited about this game. It's a massive showdown, and I totally agree. I think the Jazz on the road make this a great game. Might win it outright, but I am going to do the same thing. Jazz +4.5.
I am reluctantly going back into the NHL world with my second pick. This has not worked out well for me at all this year, and probably is not going to as we continue to move forward here. Give me the Colorado Avalanche -1.5 tonight against the San Jose Sharks. Colorado has lost 3 games in a row. They played pretty well the other night against Vegas. Vegas is just an absolute buzzsaw right now. I think when you lose 3 in a row and you're Colorado, they're going to come out and make a statement tonight. Give me Colorado -1.5 against the Sharks and make it my lock here in the competition today. I need Nathan MacKinnon to have a big night here on the program. Ryan Porth. You seem to be upset that I took that game.
So do I just go with that as well? Because I had that written down.
It's up to you.
I just did. Who cares?
Yeah, that's up
to
you.
All right, give me Colorado -1.5.
Colorado
minus. And to add what you were saying, they're getting Rantanen and Grubauer back tonight.
Yes, they are. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see if they can come out and dominate that game against the Sharks. Okay, the final round of our individual picks here on the program. Ryan Porth. We go back to you to begin the final round of our individual picks.
So Joe dipped into the Grizzlies' magic water, and so am I. But Ja Morant over 20.5 points.
Over 20.5 points for Ja Morant.
He has been rolling lately, and they're going to put up a lot of points tonight on the Magic. So give me over 20.5 for Ja.
I can't believe the line's only 20.5. Interesting. Over 20.5 points for Ja Morant tonight. Against the Orlando Magic. Joe Rexrode, your final individual pick in today's version of Weekend Winners.
By the way, I hope everyone, including both of you, are ready for Avs 4, Sharks 3.
It's almost
a lock. Like I might have to get on the app here.
I am emotionally prepared for it.
Joe, I hope you're ready for 121 versus 110 in the Grizzlies match game tonight.
Me too.
That's fine. I mean, I hope this gets more interesting.
Suck it.
Bucks, Bulls. I don't know how this is just Bucks minus 4.5, but I love that line. Give me the Bucks minus 4.5 against Chicago Bulls.
Well, now that you've already put it on the record, I'll say it because I don't think Giannis is going to play tonight. He got hurt last night. So that's why it's only minus 4.5. That would be the reason.
That's all right. They'll still win by 10.
That would be the reasoning right there. Do I dare go back into the baseball world? Do I dare do it? Nope. Give me the 76ers minus 9 against the Atlanta Hawks. I'm going back to the NBA. I thought about taking a baseball game. Last week I took the Milwaukee Brewers to beat the Cubs. They lost 15-2.
Woof.
15-2. I'm gonna stay away from baseball for a while. I did consider the Yankees minus 1.5 against the Tigers, but not going to go that route. Give me 76ers minus 9 against the Atlanta Hawks.
I almost took Padres Giants under 7.5 tonight.
Yeah.
But
poor the big over-under guy here in the competition, Joe. He's staying away from the spreads.
Hey, listen, when you're getting smoked like this, you got to be creative. I appreciate Porth, being willing to go out on a limb. It's like J-Rob, you know? Sometimes you got to take a gamble, man.
Well, on a lot of over-unders, I mean, you're either going to hit the over or the under, and you're not risking yourself losing when you actually don't lose a bet. So that's why I went with some of these over-unders.
There you go. That is today's version.
There's a protest against the rules.
Of weekend winners. Ryan Porth.
Stupid rules.
Still upset from the results a week ago here on the program. We'll see if he can move past that this weekend. Joe Rexroad, that does it for you today, my friend. Hope you have a great weekend and enjoy your, I guess, coffee that's in your Detroit Lions cup right now.
We've got an appointment. Have a great weekend, guys. And I'd just like to say this cup represents a mighty team that missed on fields.
Oh, yes. That's a walk-off moment for Joe Rexroad here on the program. When we come back, Ryan Porth and I will continue to discuss the NFL draft. What were our takeaways from round one? And what do we make of this Aaron Rodgers situation going on with the Green Bay Packers? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword GOLF now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text GOLF now to 615-737-1025 and enter for your chance to win. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley and Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning, streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well. Ryan Porth, the first round of the draft has come and gone. The Titans selecting Caleb Farley at number 22. Number one, what did you think of the pick for the Titans at 22 with Caleb Farley? What was your reaction when you saw that's the route the Titans were going to take?
Well, I wasn't very happy about it because, as we all know, I really wanted Azeez Ojulari.
Big fan.
And he was on the board, and they did not take him. Still a little bitter. I don't love the pick, and it's mostly because – and you can't general manage this way, but you can think this way as a fan – that – with the pick of Isaiah Wilson last year and you just completely whiff on the first round, that rolling the dice on somebody in the first round is a scary proposition for me.
Yeah.
And I understand that maybe there could be too much made of Caleb Farley's back situation right now, but at the same time, I mean, he's had multiple procedures on his back, and when you have a back injury in a speed game at a speed position, that worries me. That worries me not only for this season and whether or not he's going to be at his top level to start the season. And I know he said that he'd be ready for training camp, and you know, he was very adamant about that. But at the same time, what version of Farley are you going to get, and what is his longevity in the league?
Well,
so,
yeah,
those are all the questions that I have. So I don't love it. It could pan out. He could have a clean bill of health in the National Football League, and then we're not having all these discussions 5-10 years from now.
It's interesting. I mean, we've seen reaction today on Twitter, on social media, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's been all over the map. I mean, Kinston called in earlier. He has no concerns about Caleb Farley. He says he'll be fine with his injury moving forward. There are some people that are irate about this pick for John Robinson, going with an injured player when you've got so many needs, and not only so many needs from a position standpoint, but the salary cap being what it is, you've got to have draft picks come in this year and contribute. Like, you can't have a situation like last year where your first-round pick brings you nothing and your second-round pick brings you very little and your third-round pick is hurt for most of the year. Like, if that happens with this Tennessee Titans team this year, may not make the playoffs. Like, you don't have a lot of margin for error based on some decisions that you had to make this past offseason when it comes to the salary cap. So that's the first thing that went through my mind. Is Caleb Farley going to be able to come in? And the long-term part of this is one thing. Like, to me, I'm not worried about that at the moment. Can he come in right now and play right now? Because you need him to. Like, he needs to come in and be able to play and be able to start from day one. And I am interested to see if he is ready to go when training camp happens.
Well, you need both. I mean, you need the instant impact, but you also need the longevity.
You do.
And his ceiling is higher than, say, Greg Newsom. And the guys on the draft night in Nashville last night, as the Titans were on the clock, as everything was building up to number 22, they were talking about Greg Newsom a lot. They weren't spending a lot of time talking about Caleb Farley, but Farley probably has a higher ceiling. It's just that high risk, high reward, and the fact that you did it in 2019, it's panned out with Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep.
You completely whiffed on round one last year, as we all know. So doing it again with a high risk, high reward pick in 2021, I mean, maybe the safe pick doesn't yield you a Pro Bowl player every single year like Caleb Farley could be, but the floor for Farley, given the injury history, definitely seems to be a lot lower than, say, a Greg Newsom.
Christopher on Periscope says, I think until he steps on the field and can fill a need, I am very hesitant about this pick. I think a lot of Titans fans probably feel the same way when it comes to Caleb Farley. Like, you look around at the rest of the first round last night. I mean, you got number three, Trey Lance, going to San Francisco. I thought that would be Mac Jones, but Trey Lance ends up going there. I was really interested to see what was going to happen with Justin Fields. There were some people that I think were surprised that he was sliding. I was not. But when Chicago moved up to 11, I was like, okay, there's no way this is not going to be Justin Fields. And for the first time, maybe ever, I think Chicago may have found an answer at quarterback.
We will see.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'm not 100% sold on Justin Fields, but kind of feel like Ryan Pace did the right thing there.
Yeah.
And he at least salvaged the fan base for a night.
He did.
Because if he traded up to 11 and drafted an offensive lineman, I feel like the whole city of Chicago would have burnt down.
Trade up to 11 to get Rashawn Slater. That would have gone well.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have, of course, the Raiders throwing everything off. Alex Leatherwood being selected at 17. That's the most Raiders pick I think I've ever heard. Kwity Paye going to the Colts at number 21. What do you think about that if you're a Titans fan? Kwity Paye ending up in Indianapolis.
I don't watch a lot of draft film, so I'm not going to sit here and try to know a ton about Kwity Paye. I know he's more of a run stuffer than he is an actual pass rusher.
Yep.
So the loss of Denico Autry, you feel like Kwity Paye might help ease the loss of Autry. I mean, I don't have a strong opinion either way on Kwity Paye. I was happy to see the Colts pick Kwity Paye because I did not want Kwity Paye on the Titans.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see the Colts pick him, but, you know, there may be a game or two in the future where I'm not happy that they drafted Kwity Paye.
Could be, and I'm interested to see Indianapolis very happy with that pick. Chris Ballard was glowing about Kwity Paye last night after the draft, so we'll see what happens on that front.
Yeah, I am surprised, though, that they didn't go offensive tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Darrisaw was still on the board. He was expected to go in the mid-teens, still on the board, and they went Kwity Paye.
Yeah, and, you know, Christian Darrisaw, I thought he'd be gone at like 13 or 14, somewhere in that neighborhood, and he wasn't. So I was kind of shocked by that, too. He ends up going to pick after the Titans with the Vikings, who traded back with the Jets. So
they traded back and still got him.
Still got it. Pretty good draft yesterday by the Minnesota Vikings. A good day, really, at large for the NFC North, other than the Green Bay Packers. And that was the story of the day. heading into the draft yesterday, Aaron Rodgers making some noise that he is unhappy with the Packers. He does not want to return. Apparently, according to Adam Schefter, has told some members of the Packers organization that he does not want to come back. And that led to all sorts of trade rumors yesterday and all sorts of speculation about what the future is going to look like for Aaron Rodgers. Now, the Packers did have a press conference last night. They said there is a 0% chance that they're trading Aaron Rodgers. That's all well and good. We'll see what ends up happening with that. What was your reaction when you saw that Aaron Rodgers was unhappy in Green Bay? And if he's on the block and he ends up on the move, what do you think makes sense in terms of a fit for Aaron Rodgers?
He's not moving. They are not going to trade him.
I would be very surprised.
They are not going to trade him. I've been saying that all offseason. The timing of this felt like a strategic ploy for Aaron Rodgers to convince the Packers to go out and draft a receiver, right? And then they draft a corner.
Yeah, they did. Look, I don't think they're going to trade him either. I can tell you this. Those that were expecting him to getting traded at the draft last night is stupid. Just go look at his contract. If he gets traded before June 1st, it's a $34 million cap hit to the Packers. They're not doing that. Like, they're just not going to do that.
And after June 1st, what team is going to have the cap space to be able to make a deal like that work when the offseason is essentially over?
Exactly. Now, after June 1st, I mean, I think it does move down to what would be a $14 million cap hit for the Packers at that point. So if you have to go that route, you can probably swallow it a little bit better there if you're the Packers. Look, here's what is true. I don't think there's any question that Rodgers is frustrated. And, you know, Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, basically made that clear last night, that the relationship is not in a great place and it's going to take some time to repair it. It's amazing to me that the Packers have allowed it to get to this point where you've got an NFL MVP that had 4 years left on his contract. You draft his replacement in Jordan Love, which on the surface, I guess you can live with that if you're Aaron Rodgers. But after you have the season that he has this past year and your first conversation with Aaron Rodgers is not to, hey, let's give you a contract extension and show that we're committed to you. It's, hey, restructure this to where you could still be cut after this next year here if we need you to. I can see how that would rub you the wrong way. And then you factor in 9 out of the last 10 picks in the first round have been defensive players, and the one offensive player was your replacement. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to see why Aaron Rodgers is pretty upset with the Packers. Now, is Aaron Rodgers also kind of a drama queen? Yeah, he is. I think they've known that about him for a while now. I'm interested to see how this goes because from what the chatter is and the people who have been talking to Rodgers throughout this, seems like he's pretty dug in and he's not willing to move much right now. I don't know what that means, but it seems like he's pretty dug in.
I have a hard time believing that the Packers are going to trade him this offseason, and I have a hard time believing that Rodgers isn't going to show up for training camp at some point.
I would be surprised. Now, I said this earlier in the show. I think, you know, he went and hosted Jeopardy a couple of weeks ago and made some comments that he would love to be the full-time host of Jeopardy and also play football at the same time. I don't know how realistic that is. I don't even know if he'd be the favorite to win the job at Jeopardy. By all accounts, he did a good job. I watched one episode. He was fine. Could it be? Could he just say, you know what? Screw you, Green Bay Packers. I'm going to go be the host of Jeopardy. There are people in Green Bay that believe that might happen.
And if he does that, he puts his future in Green Bay even further in jeopardy.
Yeah. Ooh, nicely done there, Ryan Ford. That was good. There are all sorts of rumors floating around about the Broncos yesterday. I think Mark Schlereth went on a radio station and said the deal's almost done.
104.3, the Fan of Denver,
And then it came out and said, and there were reports that they hadn't even been in contact with each other between the Broncos and the Packers. So, I mean, a lot of draft season rumors floated around there yesterday. But wouldn't that be amazing if you're John Elway and the Denver Broncos and you're sitting there in the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes and you find a way in the last decade to backdoor your way into Peyton Manning coming to you and to Aaron Rodgers coming to you? You're playing at a high level in their careers.
It would be pretty amazing.
It would be.
And, I mean, he can't draft a quarterback to save his life.
No.
But if he fell his way into Peyton and Rodgers, wow.
I think you'll take that. If you're the Broncos.
I think you would, especially if Rodgers would result in another Super Bowl.
Exactly. So we'll see what ends up happening on that front. As a Packers fan, I about had a heart attack yesterday at 3 o'clock.
You did.
I was having a nervous breakdown, and Still very upset at the Green Bay Packers management. That's not going to pass, but I've been upset at them for over a year now. So we'll see what happens on that front. When we come back, 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day today for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity for you here on Robbie and Rex Road coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It doesn't quite have the same buzz to this song when Rex Road's not here to hate it.
Or love it. I mean, he might love it.
I think he's warming up to it.
I mean, with each passing Friday, I think he warms up more to some Luke Combs.
A little bit of Luke Combs action coming in the program here, and that means one thing and one thing only. It's time for some Free Beer Friday trivia here on Robbie and Rex Road for your opportunity to win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. And we've got a trivia question that you can answer on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth, what is today's trivia question for Free Beer Friday?
So once again, the first person to text in at 615-737-1025 is the winner of the free beer. And last night, we saw the Chicago Bears trade up to draft Justin Fields at 11th overall. We saw the Bears trade up in 2017 to draft Mitch Trubisky early in the first round. Before Trubisky, who was the last quarterback selected in the first round by the Chicago Bears?
Ooh, before Mitch Trubisky, who was the last quarterback selected in the first round by the Chicago Bears? If you know the answer to that question, be the first one to hit up our text line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and you will win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. So make sure you get those texts in now. That's a good trivia question. I don't think I know the answer. I'm going to have to do some research on this one.
I thought I knew the answer, and that answer was correct.
So you did know the answer?
I thought I did, and then, yes, I did.
So you did. Okay,
yes,
that's great.
I did. Yeah.
Wait, that's great to point out there. The second round of the draft underway today. The Titans selecting at 53 right now. Still three more picks left in the top 100. 53, 85, and pick number 100 still on the table for the Titans. We all know the needs. You need a tight end at some point. You still need an edge rusher. You need a wide receiver as well. I'm interested to see if it goes kind of chalk that way in terms of position of need, or if there is a tackle still available that they like. Do you go that route? Lots of interesting options still on the table. Christian Barmore, not selected in the first round. Azeez Ojulari, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, all still available right now heading into the second round. So could be some interesting decisions coming up for John Robinson and the Tennessee Titans. We've had some fans today on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, float out the idea of maybe if you're the Titans, you move up and you go get and Elijah Moore in the second round. Like, if you'd have told me heading into the draft you could find a way to get Caleb Farley and get Elijah Moore in the second round, I think a lot of Titans fans would like that. So I'm very fascinated to see what John Robinson and the Titans do today. I would be hesitant to move up. We talked to Teron Davenport from ESPN earlier on in the show, and he talked about if you're going to move up, it really needs to be only a couple of picks that you're moving up for a person you really like, because of how big the need is for the Titans to hit on all of these draft picks that they've got. So that's starting today, and you can come hang out with us at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Draft coverage starting at 6 o'clock. Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, Teron Davenport, and Chris Sanders as well. Did a great job last night in the first round. They'll be back at it today starting in the second round at 6 o'clock. The Nashville Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, and the standings are as such. The Preds got some help last night from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Right now, a two-point lead on the Stars. Got 56 points. The Stars have 54. And now just one game in hand for the Stars on the Predators. Ryan Porth, tomorrow's game is massive for the Predators. I don't know if it's as simple as whoever wins that game is going to be in the playoffs. I know this. If you're the Predators and you win that game in regulation, based on your schedule coming down the stretch, you're going to put yourself in a pretty good spot.
As long as they don't screw the pooch against Columbus next week.
Exactly.
I do think it's as simple as who wins that game, especially if it's in regulation.
Yeah,
especially if it's in regulation.
I mean, it could be. I mean, if you're Dallas, you've still got Florida once next week. You've got Tampa twice. So that's a pretty tough stretch you got to go to. By the way, all those on the road coming up for the Stars. Every single game they've got left coming up on the road. But if you're the Predators, man, if you can get this done in regulation, that could be the death nail.
But they have two at Chicago to end the year. So Chicago now is pretty much out of it.
They're out.
So, I mean, I understand the Preds have Columbus and the Stars don't. But at that point in the season, the last two games of the year, the Hawks are probably going to be officially eliminated,
yep,
ready to just move on. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that that the Stars would lose a lot of those last five games.
I don't think it is either. What you're hoping for, if you're the Predators and if you're a Predators fan, Florida's still got something to play for. They will. Tampa Bay, they still got something to play for.
Yep.
I thought Vasilevskiy, I mean, was really good. And that's going to be the case against the Stars. They struggle to score at times. Now, do they get Seguin back next week? That could be interesting as well. Do the Predators get Forsberg back on Saturday? Do they get him back sometime next week, maybe against Columbus or Carolina? It's going to be really interesting to see the Predators practicing later this morning, by the way, too. So we'll see.
The timing of the schedule, too, could benefit the Preds in the sense that Florida and Tampa, to your point, still have something to play for on Dallas's schedule.
Yep.
But when you look at the Preds' schedule, Columbus clearly has nothing to play for. They're done. And probably in that last game of the regular season, there's a chance that the Hurricanes don't have anything to play for.
Yep.
That they have the division all wrapped up. So in three of the last four games, you might be facing a team that has nothing to play for. Whereas the Stars, this game, obviously, the opponent has something to play for. And then the next three,
yeah,
they have something to play for. So the Preds might luck out just with how the schedule matrix works out, too.
Going to be a big game tomorrow. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do we have a winner for Free Beer Friday?
James correctly said that Rex Grossman,
yes,
was the last time the Bears drafted a quarterback in the first round. We had a lot of different guesses.
Yep.
There were some Jay Cutler answers in there, Jim McMahon, Cade McNown. But it was Rex Grossman in 03 with the 22nd overall pick.
That would have been my guess. I would not be confident that it was right, but that's a Super Bowl appearance quarterback, Rex Grossman, to you, by the way. Maybe the worst quarterback to ever play in a Super Bowl?
He's up there.
He's got to be up there. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back Monday morning to recap the draft that was for the Titans. Also a big game for the Predators against the Stars as well. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.